And what he said was, of course, the beginnings of my participation in what I'm really doing now. He made a statement. He says, well, he says, I want the printer of A Course in Miracles to print my book. And that was a powerful statement for him to make. And I recognize that certainly he might have gotten the job done a lot easier and maybe even a little cheaper, you know, in Houston. But I said, okay, Jerry, when you're ready, give me a call. And I kind of dismissed it as, no, I'll never hear from him again. And we left the Sylmar, and he said, now don't forget, Saul. He said, when I'm ready, he said, you're going to do my book. And I said, okay, Jerry, if that's what you want, you know, I'll be glad to do so. And about a year later, I got a call from Jerry. And Jerry said to me, okay, you rascal, you. He says, you said you're going to come down here and do my book. And I said to myself, I never said I was going to go down there and do his book. I said I would do his book because it cost $100 to get to Houston and $100 to get back. And by that time, I was somewhat intuitively asking about other things. And one of the things that I got in a very quick asking session of spirit was that this was a format of things to come, and that Jerry was kind of preparing me for something, in that in order to really be totally loving and to totally give of myself, that I should be going down to meet with my author so that we would know and love each other, and I could take the instruction on the book. And the little Jewishness in me got in there too and said, you can also pick up a check. And I found myself on a plane to Houston, Texas. And Jerry was a good host and met me at the airport, and we had a really super weekend. And I got to meet his wife, Marilyn, and we went up to, he had a place up in the woods somewhere. And Jerry shared a great deal with me about his past. And it was starting to become apparent to me that all this hokum about what religions one followed and what one was born as was totally unimportant. Because if two guys ever came from a totally different background, it was Jerry Fankhauser and I. And here we were, hugging one another down there in the woods out in Texas. And it really dawned on me that this is the only way to conduct business, in a loving type of relationship, where instead of trying to get the advantage over one another, where instead of trying to win every battle, where instead of trying to become the victor, why not try it where one would just become the lover? I didn't get my check, which was certainly another aspect of my teaching. And I took the manuscript back and started working on it. But I came back with something far more important than a check. I came back with a very clear and definitive plan that Spirit had planted in my thoughts and had said that this is a road that I should follow, that people who would come to me and put their trust in me and give me their material, which they may have been working on for years and years, wanted just a little bit more than having a book printed. They could get that almost anywhere. But what they really wanted for themselves, and one of the key reasons for their writing in the first place, was to send love and to receive it back. That was a very powerful lesson for me. And, of course, Jerry's book marked the very first book that I was going to sell, or try to sell, because I felt that I had an obligation to Jerry as the printer and as the publisher, that what it was really all about was that I have to take that book and run with it, and whatever sales are made are entirely up to me. And it made me think of something Paul Steinberg had said to me after we had finished the first printing of The Course in Miracles, which I had buried in a back room of my mind. And what he said started to make some sense. He said, "Saul, one day, whenever that is supposed to happen, you will become the holistic printer and publisher of all materials that are very beautiful, not the only one, but the holistic printer and publisher, and that people will be flocking to you to do their work, and that they will feel comfortable knowing that their work is in a loving, trusting, beautiful atmosphere, and that money will have nothing to do with it, although everything that's good in life will come to you as a result of doing this." And I thought about that at that time, and here was a prophecy he had made a couple of years earlier actually really starting to come to pass. It was pretty clear to me at that time that I must have done something right, and that I must have been trying to get on a path myself without really knowing it, and that with these now four books for the foundation and Jerry's book, I was into something pretty exciting. And certainly what I was into was about to transform my life tremendously. Now, all this time, I should point out that not only was I doing books, but I still have my advertising agency, and I still had my printing business, and I still had my Quick Print, and I said, wow, that's a lot of lumber for one guy to be cutting at one time and getting into something new. And there was a thought that came to me, and something I had read, which really kind of rocked me off my pins, and that was that Spirit only gives us exactly what we can handle, never more, never less. If we have the ability to do 1,000 jobs, then we'll do 1,000 jobs, not 999, not 1,001. But whatever we can handle with ease, we will be given that assignment to do. So I found myself suddenly thinking that I had a new partner in HS, as I call him, Holy Spirit. And what started to come into my thoughts was that I was being presented with an opportunity, perhaps one of the greatest opportunity that any human being had ever been presented with in 2,000 years, to bring what some people, and at that time myself as well, considered the greatest set of books mankind has ever known. And I didn't look at it as an awesome responsibility. I looked at it as, here I am, just tell me what you would have me do, knowing that Spirit would provide all the answers and indeed all the resources that I needed. Now, about this time, as you might imagine, I started to get a little bit crowded. And here I was, I had a place on the second floor in the Huntington Quadrangle, which was a suite of offices, but no storage room. And I had this quick print in the downstairs basement of the Huntington Quadrangle, which was very busy and doing quite well. And I said, all right, Spirit, you're giving me a lot to do, but I need more space. And I meditated on that one and heard very clearly, you will have more space. And I said, well, that's neat, picking up on my friend Jerry. And I said, where is this space coming from? And I got, just be patient. And about 2 days later, a man called Mr. Jackson, and I remember his name, and he said, are you looking for space? And I said, who is this? I really thought that HS tapped into my phone. And he said, this is Mr. Jackson of the Huntington School Board. And he says, it's come to our attention that you're looking for space. And I said, might I ask, who brought it to your attention? Really figuring he was going to say Holy Spirit. But not so. He said, well, I don't know. He said, my secretary told me. And I said to myself, well, maybe it was Holy Spiritess. But certainly, I never got a satisfactory answer to the question. But I did indeed rent space in an abandoned school to stock all the books. And we put the books there, and it was kind of a drag taking books from the schoolroom where we packed everything up to the ceilings, and there was really not even room to move. And my brother-in-law, Mark, who was my chief and official book picker-upper, every time that poor guy went out to get books, he would fill up that little Volkswagen van and put 300 sets of books in that thing. And half the time the van would break down, and he'd have fires in the van, and everything that happened. But he never burnt the book or didn't get it delivered. And he would go to the school and pick up books as we ran our 300s out. And we would take books as we needed it and ship it. And our poor little UPS man, weighed about 38 pounds, he would come down to the lower level of our quick print and look at that mound of books and say, oh, God. And I said, you got it. You got it. And he'd say, "Can't you people stack them outside?" And the landlord forbid us to do that. And he would come down. He was really, really patient with us and carry up. By this time, we were shipping out 50, 60 sets at a time, plus the other books, and it was quite a load. And he would come down with his little hand cart that would carry about 6 or 7 sets of books. And he said, "What do I do with the other 40 sets?" I said, "Come on, we'll help you." And we used to give him a hand trying to get him up and get him out. And so we did. And I saw that this was a good solution for that particular moment. But I got another call from Jerry. And Jerry said, "Saul, you old rascal, you." He says, "What do you think I've done?" And I kind of bit my lip and said, "What?" He said, "I've written another book." And I said, "Jerry, are you telling me you've written another book?" I said, and I was thinking about my space. And he says, "Yeah." He says, "I got one." He said, "Power of Affirmations, it's called." First one, if I didn't mention it, was called Everybody is Your Teacher. And he says, "Now look, you scoundrel, you." He says, "You came down here," he says, "and you didn't screw up." He says, "You got everything right," he says, "which is surprising for a New York Jewish guy." He said, "I want you to come down again and take the second book." And I got on a plane again and went down. And he said, "Look," he says, "I hope you don't mind," he says, "but I've called a couple of people together." And he said, "I would really like you to meet some of these people." He says, they're people that I'm working with A Course in Miracles. And he says, "They're also people who are buying my book." He said, "I'd really like you to meet them." He says, "Would you have any objection if we go ahead and call an informal meeting?" I said, "No, not at all." And that night, there are about 35 people in his living room sitting 3 on top of each other. And what I did was just kind of share some of the things that were going on with Course in Miracles, which they were interested in hearing about. And there was a lady at the meeting who came over and gave me a really tight hug. And she said, "You know, Saul," she said, "I really like you." And she says, "I want you to know that I'm working on a book." And she says, "I want you to be my printer." And I said, "Oh, another Texan?" I said, "Well, I'll be happy to do it when you're ready." And I got a call from her one day. And she said, "I'm ready." And there I was on a plane again going down to Houston, and the book was something she had put together with another psychotherapist, and her name was Joanne Tangadol. And Joanne is a psychotherapist practicing in Houston who shares an office with Jerry, and she was working and collaborated on the book with another beautiful lady by the name of Merrily Neal. And Joanne and Merrily and I had a meeting. And here I was going back now with yet another book called The New Blueprint for Marriage. Well, I knew what I was doing was comfortable for me, was comfortable for my authors. And I was really starting to sell books for them, but still not for the foundation, which were the principal books, The Course in Miracles and the 3 pamphlets, up to this point, I was only selling the Jerry's and Joanna Merrily's books and just distributing books with the orders coming from California from the foundation. And it really started to become apparent that my role in all this was changing, and that where I now had three businesses doing advertising, printing, typesetting, artwork, and then down at the very bottom, books, it was starting to turn around, and I was starting to devote at least a couple of hours a day to the books and a little bit less time to the advertising, printing, typesetting, etc. And I said, okay, Spirit, you're telling me something here, and you're wanting me to do something, and I think that it's time that it just became a little clearer to me so that I know which direction that I have to travel and what I should do about it. And about that time, my partner came to me and said, Saul, I don't care all that much for New York. And we had been partners for perhaps 9 years, and I don't think we ever had a disagreement. And anyone who's got a partner that they work with will certainly recognize that that's a rare thing in a partnership. If some of you are wondering what his name was and how Coleman got its name Coleman, his name was Len Coleman. And Len came to me that one day, and he had absolutely, totally no interest in being involved in books. And it was somewhat surprising to me in that he had started Coleman Graphics and had asked me, when the business was not really doing all that well, to become his partner, that he had taken his dream and was now ready to walk away from it, apparently because of something that was going on in his life that he wasn't altogether all that happy with. And it dawned on me, well, perhaps it's the way this business is turning. Because we were doing financially well and we had no problems. But what really was going down was that he had no interest in giving up the commercial aspect of the printing business and advertising business. And here that was a very clear pattern that was starting to develop. And he came to me and he said, Saul, I've decided leave. And I want you to come up with a deal that will take me out of Coleman Graphics. And I said, wow, that's heavy. I said, when are you planning on leaving? And he said, how about tomorrow? And I said, that's really heavy. I said, well, I said, why do you want me to come up with a deal? You're the one that's leaving. I said, certainly you must have given it some thought as to what you expect, what you want. And he said something that was surprising to me. He said, you'll make me a better offering than I would make for myself. I thought that he was trying to just build up my ego. And He was a pretty smart fella, because that night I went home and asked for Spirit's guidance in how to handle this. And I sat down in the kitchen of my home, and I wrote an agreement in 20 minutes that encompassed about 7 pages of what I agreed to. After hearing Spirit tell me, after my asking for guidance on how to handle this, I heard Spirit's words very clearly, with bell-like precision. The words were, "Be kind to your brother." And I wrote up a proposal that actually gave him much, much more than he was looking for. And the next morning, when I presented it to him, he looked at it and read it and said, "Wow, this is more than I had hoped for." And I said, "My guidance was that you would be comfortable with this." And indeed he was. And we went to the lawyer. And our lawyer, of course, was our lawyer for both of us. And the lawyer looked at this. And when he looked at the proposal, he looked at me and he looked at Len. He said, "Both you fellas agree on this?" And he shook his head, "Yes." And I said, "Well, I wrote it, so I certainly agree with it." And he said, "This is the first time in my legal practice of 25 years I've ever seen anything like this, where two people can come into a room on a dissolution of partnership and actually lovingly consent to each other's demands." And of course, they weren't demands. And he looked at me and said, "How long did this take you to put it together?" And I looked in Stan's eyes. That's his name is Stan Lira. I said, "Stan, it took me 20 minutes. He says, "20 minutes? He said, "You got a job with me, kiddo." And the way I wrote it was the way it was signed by both of us. And the interesting thing about that was that it was a very beautiful example of how no one has to be hurt in business. No one has to be the winner. No one has to be the loser, and certainly no one has to walk away from any kind of a deal, particularly a business.